What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Taming the Financial Chaos podcast, where we embrace uncertainty, we embrace the chaos, because we are working to establish control. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm a financial advisor and a certified financial planning professional out of Greensboro, North Carolina. The name of my practice is Principles of Financial Planning. You can find us online at principles with an L-E of financialplanning.com. That's principles with an L-E of financialplanning.com. Well, boys and girls, today I think I've got for you what is a pretty engaging topic. You might recall from our last episode, we talked a little bit about the concept of resiliency within the context of financial planning. And you might remember three questions that I offered that I will share with folks to demonstrate what I mean and the importance of feeling resilient, with your finances, with your resources. And just as a brief recap, those three questions were, if you were to purchase a $10 million mansion at the beach, how quickly could you tell me the impact that would have on your financial plan? The second question, if you were to purchase a $3 cup of coffee at Starbucks, how quickly could you tell me the impact to your financial plan of doing that? And the last question, if you were to remodel a room in your house or purchase a new car, have to upgrade your HVAC system, some kind of significant expense, how quickly can you tell me the impact to your plan for one of those things? And as I mentioned last time, my experience has been that most folks, when you get to that third question, they freeze. So the first two questions tend to be pretty easy, but then you got that third question, and it tends to stop people in their tracks. And what we can kind of learn from that is the first two questions are extremes. Most folks, the average person, cannot afford a $10 million mansion at the beach, so it's completely out of the question. And so it's dismissed offhand right off the bat. Same thing with the question about the cup of coffee from Starbucks, but obviously for a different reason. It's on the cheap end of things, in case that's not obvious. And for most folks, they wouldn't have a problem affording a $3 cup of coffee. So that too gets dismissed. But that third question, if you're like so many others and you froze when that question was posed, then that presents a problem, at least in my humble opinion. And the reason for that is because the things I mentioned, remodeling a room, purchasing a car. I don't think I brought up putting a roof on the house, but that would be one that's applicable as well. But those kinds of things are certainly the types of events or types of purchases that, most of us will have to make throughout our lifetime, if not multiple times. And if we freeze just from being asked a question about that, then I don't see how it's possible we would feel any more comfortable, actually acting on a need for a new car or a new roof or something along those lines. And so based on that, I think it's fair to say that at minimum, we can say that we don't know whether our resources can handle a decision like that, can handle an outlay of money like that. Another way to look at that, or another way to word that, would be to say we don't know how resilient our resources are. And so therefore, we feel vulnerable, or at least we question whether we are vulnerable to the point that we're not comfortable just taking that step and pulling that trigger, so to speak. But like I said, those kinds of things that I rattled off there, those are things that we're most likely going to face during our lifetimes, and most likely we're going to face those kinds of decisions multiple times. And if we can say that those are the types of decisions we'll face, I mean, what is life other than a series of decisions? And so if we can't make those decisions, I don't think it's a stretch to say we don't feel all that free just to simply live. And one way that I might define it that's more specific to finances would be to say that we don't feel like we can live without worry. And if we're of the overachiever variety and we want to take it to the next level, then we can also say knowing how resilient we are, or having a feeling of being resilient, is important for maximizing what we can do in this life. The last thing I'll say here is, you might also remember from last time we covered the six principles of financial planning, and this whole topic, this is exactly why principle number five is test the limitations of your resources. So when it comes to addressing feelings of vulnerability, or just not knowing whether we are vulnerable or how resilient we might be, where do we start? Well, something else you might recall from the previous episode is we talked a little bit about how planning involves measuring. And if you think about measuring, what you're basically doing is you're locating the end of something. An example I would give you would be measuring a board. If you measure a board and determine it's 24 inches long, well, what you've really done is you've determined that one end of the board is 24 inches away from the other end. So you've located the end of the board, so to speak. Well, the same is true for planning. What you're essentially doing is you're trying to find the end of your resources, or you're trying to find the conditions under which your resources will end. Another way to look at that would be to say that we're trying to find the conditions under which our resources would prove to be insufficient. But if planning were only about that, then that would mean that all we're doing is we're identifying problems and we're not providing any solutions. That is absolutely something that I abhor. I can't stand it when somebody does it to me. So I would never do that to a client. So ultimately, what we actually are trying to do is arrive at solutions. But one of the things I also like to say is you can't possibly prescribe an accurate solution if you haven't defined the problem very well. So that's the first step. We've got to define the problems that we have. And so if the ultimate objective is to have the most resilient plan possible, another way to look at that would be to say, well, that's the solution we're trying to implement to feeling vulnerable. So feeling vulnerable specifically is the problem we're dealing with. And I've got an analogy that I like to use that I think does a good job of connecting these dots to understand the relationship between vulnerabilities and resiliency. And that's the example of going to the gym and maxing out. You know, if you're a guy, you know, might puff your chest out and tell your buddies, you know, oh, I'm going to max out today. And, you know, so maybe you lay down on bench press and that's the lift you're going to max out on. Well, the funny thing about that is we tend to think about a max, you know, like that of bench press, strictly in terms, or mostly in terms, of that defining how strong someone is. And that's true, you know, and I guess you could say, you know, the best way to understand that is, you know, to compare maxes. So, you know, one person who has a max that's higher than another is obviously stronger. But the reality is that when it comes to maxing out, what you're actually doing at the exact same time is you're proving how weak you are. Because the only way to max out is to fail. And the way you fail in the weight room is by being too weak. And so you think about the process of maxing out, you're literally adding weight to the bar until you reach that point where you just simply can't lift it. You fail, and you fail because you're weak. So a quick note that I want to add to that. I think it's probably fair to say that there are at least quite a few people who don't exactly embrace notions or ideas surrounding, you know, how they're vulnerable, how they're weak. You know, because let's face it, I mean, that means that potentially we're, you know, being critical of ourselves, and we don't like to have others, let alone ourselves, be critical of us. We like to feel confident. We like to feel resilient. But if the key to feeling resilient is knowing the ways in which you are vulnerable or weak, well, then we have to keep that in mind. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, so to speak. And we can't, I guess, be scared off, or we can't be discouraged by discovering that, hey, we actually are weak or we are vulnerable. And especially in the context of financial planning, we have to know that if we're working with an advisor, and hopefully we've picked a good one, well, that advisor is not going to just leave us, you know, floundering to deal with our weaknesses. He or she is going to step in, or should step in, and offer some legitimate solutions. Now, I felt like today a good way to really flesh this topic out and give you some insight into these concepts within the financial planning realm would be to simply tell you a story about a client, an experience that I have with a client. I'm going to use the name Joyce for this client. That's not her real name. But Joyce has been a client for a while now, I guess a little more than a decade. And things, you know, they were going along fine for several years. But then one day, Joyce came in for a meeting, and I could see stress and anxiety basically on her face. And when we sat down and met with her, she shared a story with us that she had recently been to the dentist. And the dentist had told her that she needed to have some work done. And the bill that was going to result from the work was going to be about $5,000. Now, I knew that Joyce was fine. I knew she had ample resources to be able to cover that expense. But the important part is that Joyce didn't know. And so when Joyce was sharing this with us, she said specifically that she was concerned about what this would do for, you know, her resources or the rest of her plan. I told Joyce that I knew exactly what we needed to do. And as part of our planning services, we offer something that's called a Slack evaluation. And what the Slack evaluation is, you know, if you think about, you know, if you ever used a rope for any kind of a project, what have you, you might have worked with somebody, you know, in using that rope. And if you didn't have enough rope to be able to stretch it to the point you needed to, well, common question that people will say around that is, can you give me some slack? So what the Slack evaluation is aimed toward is determining how much flexibility someone has in their financial resources. You know, so if they're going along just fine and then, like Joyce, they have an unexpected expense pop up, the Slack evaluation is there to tell them whether or not that's a problem. Now, when we conduct a Slack evaluation, what it is that we're doing is we're taking stressors and we're applying them to someone's plan. So we're stress testing their plan. And some quick examples of the stressors that we apply to plans would be maximum one-time expense. So in other words, how much can someone afford at one time and still have an acceptable probability of success? That kind of a test would obviously be applicable in Joyce's situation because this was a one-shot deal, so to speak. Another example would be the maximum retirement budget stress test. So this is a test where we simply see just how large of a budget someone's resources could support. And just a quick note to explain why that test is included, because that's one that we basically include universally with all clients, is simply because it happens quite frequently that someone comes to the table and they provide a budget. But maybe they haven't been so thorough in their analysis of the budget or in putting it together, or maybe they're just unsure. But either way, we have people come to the table often enough to where maybe we shouldn't have all the confidence in the world in those budget figures. And so the way to account for that is to basically perform that maximum retirement budget stress test, which gives them parameters of sorts. So in other words, we're planning for a certain budget, but you know, if that's not perfect, if we didn't hit the nail right on the head with how much we're going to spend, well, here's how much room you actually have up to your maximum retirement budget. So like I said, I already knew that the dental bill was not a problem for Joyce. So the real issue, and really, I guess you could say the entire purpose behind the Slack evaluation is having a way to communicate something like that. And frankly, I like being as thorough as possible. I like being able to show someone that not only am I just confident because I'm just confident, but here's why, and be able to show them the facts and figures behind it. So I went back, got to work, took care of the Slack evaluation. We set another meeting with Joyce. And when we met with her, I was able to show her that while she was concerned about a $5,000 dental bill, her resources actually put her in the position to where she could afford a maximum one-time expense of over $400,000. Now, I understand if the disparity between those numbers is shocking, and some might respond by saying, you know, well, my goodness, why couldn't anyone have seen that? But I hope you would understand, and if you don't, then you certainly should, that when you're dealing with these types of figures and when you're dealing with all these moving parts, the picture, the big picture, and how everything fits together and whether or not you're resilient, quite frankly, that can become pretty obscure. And that's only compounded, you know, made worse by the fact that maybe someone doesn't have all the experience in the world, you know, with these kinds of financial topics. So I don't dismiss, and I certainly don't discount, even when I know, like in Joyce's situation, you know, that somebody is in a great position, I don't take it for granted that they're going to know that. And I certainly am not dismissive, you know, in a situation like this where the numbers turn out to be so far apart. But nevertheless, I presented Joyce with that information, and when I revealed it to her, a joke I asked her, joking question was, so how many people are you going to take to the dentist with you? And when I presented this to her and told her that joke, it's like you could see the stress and the anxiety just melt away from her. And while that was, you know, reward enough, let's say, the most, I guess, impactful response to this interaction with Joyce actually didn't occur until a couple months later. And that was when I got an email from Joyce out of the blue saying that she and her husband were going to buy a second home at the beach. When I got that email, I did not respond to her by email. I picked up the phone, I called her, and I simply told her, number one, that is fantastic news. And number two, this is exactly why I do what I do. One final point that I wanted to make is that while we've been talking about our Slack evaluation and, you know, we've got certain stress tests that we apply when we conduct that evaluation, those are not the only stress tests that we can or that anyone necessarily should look at. You know, when you consider things like an unexpected death, a long-term care event, a disability event, you know, things of that nature. There are plenty of things that we can talk about, we can describe that might happen that deserve their own stress test. And we package those separately. They're in a risk management planning component of ours. But nevertheless, it's these types of events, you know, whether we can define them or describe them or not, you know, maybe they're just an unknown event. You know, we talked a little bit in the first episode about general anxiety and how that's not helpful, but maybe we can help quell some of that, you know, by applying some of these stress tests that we're talking about here. But nevertheless, like I alluded to when I mentioned that our fifth principle is test the limitations of your resources, it is that concept specifically that defines the ways in which you are vulnerable or the conditions under which you are vulnerable, which then tell you either A, just how resilient you are, or B, what needs to be done so that you can elevate things. You can take your own planning to the level necessary so that you feel adequately resilient. And again, the whole point in that is so you can simply make decisions and live. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Taming the Financial Chaos podcast. Just a quick reminder that you can find more information and resources about my practice online at principles with an L-E of financialplanning.com. That's principles with an L-E of financialplanning.com. I hope you will join us next time. And until then, take care and stay healthy. investment advisory services are offered through Lincoln Financial Securities Corporation, member SIPC. Insurance is offered through Lincoln affiliates and other companies. Lincoln Financial Securities and Principles of Financial Planning are separate entities. Lincoln Financial Securities and its representatives do not offer tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult their tax or legal professionals regarding their specific circumstances.